Hello, أهلا وسهلا and welcome to another episode of Arab Voices, a syndicated radio talk show that airs on dozens of radio stations in the US and Europe since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. During this episode of Arab Voices, episode number 1183, I will have three segments. First, we will listen to the latest electronic intifada newscast, a summary of the latest developments in occupied Palestine, highlighting the ongoing Israeli genocide in Gaza. During the second segment, I will air the remarks of Navi Pillay, chair of the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and in Israel, announcing that an independent UN report concluded that Israel has committed genocide in Gaza. During the third segment, I will air some of the remarks delivered at a press conference on the human rights situation in Gaza and across the occupied Palestinian territory, including the remarks of Francesca Albanese, Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territory Occupied since 1967, and the remarks of Irene Khan, Special Rapporteur on the Right to Freedom of Opinion and Expression. Let's begin with the Electronic Intifada newscast, a summary of the latest developments in occupied Palestine, highlighting the ongoing genocide in Gaza, presented by Noura Burrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada.
This is the Electronic Intifada newscast. I'm Noura Burrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 713 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Palestine. Israel has killed at least 416 Palestinians and injured at least 2,200 between September 10th and September 17th, according to official records from the Ministry of Health in Gaza. Airstrikes across Gaza, concentrated in Gaza City, have been constant and relentless. Israel has continued to obliterate high-rise towers, apartment buildings, tent shelters, and entire families trying to flee on foot and in vehicles. Journalist Islam Badr filmed the missile strike on the Ekbi Mosque in the Tufah neighborhood of Gaza City on Tuesday. Israel attacked the Beach refugee camp in western Gaza City this past week, shelling homes and shelters. Journalist Ayman Al-Hessi documented an Israeli airstrike on a home in the Beach camp on September 13th, which sparked fires inside adjacent buildings and structures. He said that over 3 days, the Israeli army attacked the camp with a barrage of shells and missiles. Gaza resident Jihad Madhoun captured this airstrike on a home in the camp on September 11th. On September 15th, Israel dropped the Gafri high-rise building in Gaza City. Reporter Ahmed Ibrahimi filmed this clip. The day before, Israel struck the Mahna Tower. Al Jazeera shared this video of an Israeli missile strike on a residential building in the Nasser neighborhood on September 12th. Videographer Hamza Kureka captured the moment an Israeli airstrike hit a building in the Rayas neighborhood on September 13th. That day, Israel also targeted the Palestine Stadium, where forcibly displaced families had sought shelter. Reporters Nahed Hajjaj and Saeed Hezbollah filmed the aftermath of the attacks as distraught parents rushed their injured children to Al-Shifa Hospital. Israel also targeted a vehicle carrying displaced Palestinians, including children, on September 16th, engulfing it in flames and killing everyone inside. Ibrahim Al-Khalili, a correspondent for Al Jazeera, reported from the Daraj neighborhood in Gaza City that same day. He had to report on the killing of many of his close family members.
I'm here today reporting from Gaza's Al Daraj neighborhood east of Gaza City, where deadly Israeli airstrike flattened this complete residential block behind me. many Palestinians have been confirmed killed, and at least 50 Palestinians are still trapped under the rubble. Tragically, many of my close relatives were among those killed in this airstrike.
That was Ibrahim Al-Khalili at Al Jazeera. Israel destroyed what was left of the Islamic University of Gaza, a prestigious institution that was one of the first universities to be bombed during the first few months of the genocide, and had since been used as a makeshift shelter for forcibly displaced families. On September 14th, Israel shelled the already bombed out buildings three consecutive times. Rami Abdu of Euromed Human Rights Monitor said that, quote, after the first and second shellings, a number of displaced people returned to the site to try to retrieve some of their belongings. In the third shelling, high explosive bombs were used that directly targeted the building. Dozens of victims and missing persons are still under the rubble up to this moment. Journalist Abdelaziz Khalil filmed this clip of the attacks. On Wednesday, Israeli forces bombed an area near the front gate of Al-Shifa Hospital, where displaced families have sheltered in tents. The attack killed at least 13 people and wounded many others. Video and images of the aftermath of the attacks show people strewn on the ground in pools of blood or being carried by others in total panic. The day before, on Tuesday, Israel targeted the area around Al-Shifa Hospital with airstrikes. Journalist Mahmoud Abu Salama reported from the aftermath of Tuesday's attacks. He said, quote, an Israeli massacre on this street, crowded with citizens and inhabited by residents. On this street, there are martyrs and wounded people. The street is full of residents, as you can see. Compounding the massacres and destruction, the Palestinian Telecommunications Regulatory Authority said telephone lines and internet connections were down due to Israeli attacks on several main network routes supplying the region. Euromed Human Rights Monitor said that this leaves Gaza City in total communications blackout, isolating around 800,000 Palestinians and silencing their voices as Israeli attacks escalate. Israel bombed the Rantisi Children's Hospital in Gaza City on Tuesday. Dr. Munir Al-Bersh, the Director General of Gaza's Ministry of Health, reported that the specialized pediatric facility was struck three times in rapid succession, leaving 80 patients trapped in separate departments, including four children in pediatric intensive care and eight newborns in neonatal care. He said, quote, it is a scene where patients' breaths mingle with the roar of explosives and mothers' cries with the whistle of rockets. Al-Rantisi Children's Hospital, once a house of healing, has today become a field of death. On Tuesday, September 16th, Dr. Ali Tahrawi, a physician in a hospital in central Gaza, uploaded a video to his Instagram showing a toddler who was brought in after an airstrike. Her face blackened from burns and her torso ripped apart with her internal organs spilling out. In his video, Tahrawi stands beside the little girl in shock, not saying a word, while he and the hospital staff try to dress her gaping wound and watch her take her last gasping breath. Tahrawi wrote on Instagram, quote, 2 years into this hell, and I have never seen anything like what I'm witnessing now. These days bring the most devastating, heart-shattering injuries, wounds so severe you stand frozen, wondering if even God could save them. We stood helpless, not knowing what to do. I felt this little girl's final heartbeats with my hands, pulsing through torn flesh. If images of torn and broken children are not enough to stop this madness, then what is? I am ready to sacrifice my life for this cause. I will never stop struggling for my people. But how can I, when what we are facing is nothing but death and evil? 17 hours into my exhausting shift, carrying the weight of unbearable stories, families escaping death in the north, only to face more death here, and others arriving with injuries that could not be treated there, I finally lay down to rest my back. But then came another airstrike. Minutes later, the ambulances arrived with the wounded. Among them was this little girl. I saw her heart stop beating, and I feel mine will stop soon. My message to the world is simple. If we are left to burn in this hell alone, then humanity itself has already died. This world is no longer human, and the silence that allowed all of this will haunt you forever. Activist and social media creator Tommy Marcus, who goes by Quentin Quarantino, and is on board one of the dozens of boats in the Global Samud flotilla on their way to Gaza, uploaded this clip on Wednesday. Marcus says that he got in touch with Dr. Tahrawi to ask about the girl's name, something many people asked about on social media, and received this response from him.
Like many of you, the video this morning of the young child gasping her last breaths as you see her intestines fall out really affected me. And as I saw my post gaining more traction, I thought that it may be a nice thing to find out what her name was and share that on my page. So I contacted the doctor who uploaded the video, Ali, and I asked him. And unfortunately, her parents and her newborn brother were all killed, murdered in the attack. And there was nobody to confirm her name. So I just thought I'd let everyone know that.
As Israel's carnage in Gaza City escalates without limits, the Gaza government media office estimates that nearly 200,000 residents have been forced to leave their homes under the threat of airstrikes and shelling. But the office says that more than 15,000 people returned to their neighborhoods earlier this week after failing to find adequate housing or basic necessities in the south. Al-Mizan Center for Human Rights reported that Israel's intensified attacks on multi-story residential buildings, quote, are part of Israel's plan to take over the city in a severe escalation of the genocide. Relentless and deliberate attacks on Gaza City's residential areas have generated a state of fear and panic among Palestinians, causing thousands to escape towards southern Gaza, particularly to Mawasi Khan Yunus. Most Palestinians fleeing Gaza City are forced to walk on foot, as transportation remains largely unavailable due to the lack of fuel, and in rare instances where transportation is available, the cost of moving their belongings soared to nearly $1,000. The extreme trauma of being forcibly displaced is compounded by the need to walk for hours on end, while also experiencing famine, leading to severe exhaustion. Israel is currently trying to concentrate Gaza's entire population into so-called humanitarian zones in southern Gaza that amount to only 12% of Gaza's total area, Al-Mizan adds. The Gaza government media office stated this week that, quote, the Al-Mawasi area, which currently shelters approximately 800,000 people and is falsely promoted by the occupation authorities as a humanitarian safe zone, has been subjected to more than 109 airstrikes and repeated shelling, resulting in over 2,000 deaths in successive massacres perpetrated by the occupation army within the Al-Mawasi area itself. These areas are completely devoid of the basic necessities of life, with no hospitals, no infrastructure, no essential services such as water, food, shelter, electricity, or education, making living there almost impossible, the media office added. Meanwhile, children and adults alike are continuing to die of starvation across Gaza. On Wednesday, the Gaza Health Ministry said it has, until now, recorded the deaths by starvation of 432 Palestinians, 146 of whom are children. One of the mechanisms that Israel and the United States have been using to impose and entrench starvation as a means of collective punishment and genocide has been through the private Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF. The United Nations Independent Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel, has found that the GHF plays a significant role in the genocide, as it masquerades as a food aid distribution mechanism. Earlier this week, the UN Commission released a 70-page report that concludes that Israel, through its acts and intentions, is committing genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The Commission urged Israel and all states, quote, to fulfill their legal obligations under international law to end the genocide and punish those responsible for it. quote, the intention of the Israeli authorities to continuously impose starvation and unlivable conditions of life for Palestinians in Gaza is also evident through the establishment and use of the GHF to maintain total control over aid distribution in Gaza, the report declares. Navi Pillay, the chair of the commission, read her remarks in Geneva on Tuesday as the report was published.
The goal of the Israeli government is abundantly clear as we continue to witness the destruction of Palestinians in Gaza. The commission finds it is genocide. In our report, the commission found that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces committed and are continuing to commit the following underlying acts of genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. One, killing members of the group. Two, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. Three, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. And four, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. On the specific intent of genocide, the Commission concludes that statements made by Israeli authorities are direct evidence of genocidal intent. The Commission also concludes that the pattern of conduct is circumstantial evidence for genocidal intent, and that genocidal intent was the only reasonable inference that could be drawn from a totality of the evidence. Therefore, the Commission concludes that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces have the genocidal intent to destroy, in whole or in part, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
Included in the Commission's report are documented testimonies of Palestinian prisoners in Israeli detention, particularly children who have been raped, sexually assaulted, and tortured by Israeli prison forces. Considering the evidence in totality, the Commission says it finds, quote, that the Israeli security forces have intentionally inflicted serious bodily and mental harm on the Palestinians in Gaza. In her remarks, Pillay added that, quote, Israel has flagrantly disregarded the orders for provisional measures from the International Court of Justice and warnings from member states, UN offices, human rights organizations, and civil society groups, and continued the strategy of destruction of the Palestinians in Gaza. The commission finds that the Israeli authorities had no intention to change their course of action. On the contrary, Israeli authorities have persisted and continued with their genocidal campaign in Gaza for almost 2 years now. Israel must immediately end the genocide in Gaza and comply fully with the orders for the provisional measures of the International Court of Justice, she added. Chris Sidoti, a member of the commission, spelled out the failure by obligated member states to stop the genocide.
The most significant aspect of the interim orders of 26 January 2024 was that every country in the world was put on notice by the International Court of Justice that there was a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza. And if it had not happened before that, it certainly happened then, that every country in the world became obliged under the law to take action, not to speak fine words, to take action to prevent genocide. There can be no doubt whatsoever that that obligation was activated on the 24th of January 2024, if not before. And in response to your question, that applies as much to India as, Jamie, it applies to Germany and the United States, as it applies to my country and every other country.
Chris Sidoti of the UN Commission of Inquiry. Israel, not surprisingly, accused the United Nations commissioners of being anti-Semitic and proxies of Hamas. Here was Sidoti's response.
Israeli Foreign Ministry today decried a distorted and false report and said that three individuals, so referring to the Commission of Inquiry, three individuals serving as Hamas proxies notorious for their openly anti-Semitic positions. Could you please comment on that?
These reports should be taken seriously, but honestly, the Israeli responses are becoming so boring. You know, they say the same thing every time. They're producing the responses by ChatGPT these days, and they spend so much money in the foreign ministry on propaganda, you'd think that they would actually come up with something original. I would want them to engage with the evidence, but they never engage with the evidence. They put the report into ChatGPT, and then they put out the standard response. No one takes it seriously, and Jamie, you shouldn't either.
Turning quickly to the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces carried out mass arrest and abduction campaigns this past week in cities in the north, particularly in Tulkarem. Qassam Moadi of Mondo Weiss reported that Israeli forces arrested at least 1,000 Palestinians in a single day on September 11th during a wide-ranging raid on Tulkarem. Quote, the raid came following a roadside bomb attack on an armored Israeli military vehicle earlier in the day, taking place near a checkpoint outside the city. The attack wounded two Israeli soldiers, according to the Israeli Army Radio. The governor of the Tulkarem Governorate said that Israeli forces imposed a total closure on Tulkarem and conducted a campaign of home searches across the city, describing it as a systematic policy. The Israeli army's response was one of collective vengeance, said Hussein Sheikh Ali, a Tulkarem resident and local social activist. Ali told Mondo Weiss that, quote, the occupation soldiers began to go from house to house searching and damaging people's belongings. The Israeli army arrested hundreds of Palestinian men and youth in the streets, Ali said, picking them up at random based on who happened to be present at work or in the streets. Quote, they arrested most of them without even checking their IDs. They made them walk in a line down the street as Israeli forces directed them where to go. It was a show of force. That's from Qassam Moadi at Mondo Weiss. The Palestinian Prisoners Society said that Israeli occupation forces have detained approximately 120 Palestinians in the occupied West Bank over the last few days and has continued to escalate arrest raids in Al-Khalil, Jenin, Qalqilya, and Nablus. Wafa said that at least 30 Palestinians were detained between Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning alone. The total number of detentions in the West Bank since the beginning of the ongoing genocide on Gaza has reached approximately 19,000, including more than 590 women and approximately 1,550 children. These figures include those who were kept in detention by the occupation and those who were later released, but do not account for thousands of detainees from Gaza, the Palestinian Prisoners Society explained. In addition to mass arrests, Israeli bulldozers destroyed Palestinian greenhouses in Tulkarem on September 12th. And elsewhere in the northern West Bank, Israeli forces carried out raids in and around Nablus this week. Wafa news agency reported that a young Palestinian man was injured on Tuesday evening during an Israeli military incursion into the town of Kusra, south of Nablus. Wafa's sources said that several military vehicles stormed the town and roamed its streets, sparking confrontations with local residents. Israeli soldiers attacked residents with live bullets, stun grenades, and tear gas canisters, injuring the young man with live ammunition. On Tuesday, two Palestinians were shot dead by Israeli soldiers in the village of Qalqilya, and their bodies were withheld, according to Wafa news agency. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight What Is Sung Cannot Be Killed by Hazem Al-Ghozain, writing from Gaza. Quote, it's been 3 months since I listened to music. I haven't even sung to myself with my inside voice, which is what I always did in moments of sadness. The last tune I remember hearing and singing was Ya Rahin Al-Quds Kuduni Ma'akum, Take Me With You to Jerusalem, during my music troupe's rehearsal for a concert that was going to be part of the annual Rosy October Festival. I take part in it every year. Music was my refuge from the ear-splitting rocket strikes. In Arabic, we call the ecstatic delight that we feel with music tarab, or enchantment, and I used to find a kind of tarab in the musical intros to newscasts, those that were then followed by news of a new massacre, taking people and plants and places. I decided to use my voice and my guitar to bring a brighter tomorrow into children's dreams in the face of massacres and genocide. In March 2024, I set up a music tent where children could come to learn singing, performing, writing, and theater. I was with them every day until the army ordered our evacuation from that part of Khan Yunis. The dream was cut short, and with it, our togetherness. I didn't hear from the children for days, during which the Israeli military bombed the area. Eventually, we returned to the shelter, but only some of the children returned. Others did not. 20 of my students had been killed in the bombardment, I later learned. More had been injured. Our dream died with them. I decided not to bring new students to take the places of those who had been martyred. They are irreplaceable. Music is not an activity. It is a memory, a trace, a forever. Israel's genocidal war has not killed me yet, but it has killed the notions of humanity I once held to be truth. I would sing with the children and watch them smile, despite everything. One air raid was enough to destroy everything we had built and force us to move. The forced starvation would have extinguished the music tent if the bombs didn't. The children no longer have it in them to sing. They don't have it in them to hear or listen. Lining up for food or water is far more important now than any song of peace. The sounds they produce now are the rumblings of their empty stomachs, rumblings echoed throughout the city. But I did not write this to lament. I write to etch my voice into an eternity in the face of oblivion. The genocide did not mold me into a person who seeks survival. It made me a person who wants to be a trace, so that it can be said that in this land of forced starvation and annihilation, there was an artist who sang for hope, though he may not have harbored it. The song that is sung cannot be killed. Those are excerpts from What is Sung Cannot Be Killed by Hazem El-Ghozain, a musician, writer, and theater practitioner in Gaza on electronicintifada.net. It was translated by Hazem Jamjoum. And now, as we always do, we wanted to highlight people expressing joy, determination, and resilience across Gaza. 9-year-old Banyas is a naturalist and has made videos on Instagram exploring Gaza's flora and fauna. Along with her cousin and her little brother, Iyas, she recently recorded this video at her grandpa's home in Gaza City, where she found a small insect friend in her cup.
Hey guys, today I'm in my grandpa's home in Gaza City, and you won't believe what I just found when I was drinking water in my cup. I found this little guy. This is the southern green stink bug. It's one of kind of bugs. It's buzzing.
Buzzing.
It's buzzing. Oh my god.
It wasn't buzzing.
It's trying, but her wings are soaking wet. That's why it can't. Poor little friend. She can't fly. It's so sad about her. Okay. Oh, and now we have Iyas here. He wants to sing the stink bug. Iyas really loves insects.
What's that?
It's a stink bug.
What's that?
And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.
You're listening to Arab Voices, a syndicated radio talk show on dozens of radio stations in the US and Europe since 2002. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. On September 16, 2025, the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and in Israel, released a report confirming that Israel has committed genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. This commission has been investigating the events on and since October 7, 2023, for the last 2 years, and concluded that Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces committed 4 of the 5 genocidal acts defined by the 1948 Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide, namely killing, causing serious bodily or mental harm, deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about the destruction of the Palestinians in whole or in part, and imposing measures intended to prevent birth. It is worth mentioning here that several other entities, organizations, and countries have been naming what Israel has been committing in Gaza as genocide, calling it what it is. In March 2024, Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese issued a report titled Anatomy of a Genocide. In September 2024, the United Nations Special Committee to Investigate Israeli Practices Affecting the Human Rights of the Palestinian People issued a report concluding that Israel's actions were consistent with the characteristics of genocide. In December 2023, South Africa filed a case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, alleging that Israel was violating its obligations under the Genocide Convention. The ICJ ruling in that case came in January 2024 that it found that it was plausible that Israel's acts could amount to genocide and ordered Israel to take all measures to prevent genocidal acts. Several human rights and aid organizations also named Israeli actions as genocide. In December 2024, Human Rights Watch released a report accusing Israeli authorities of intentionally depriving Palestinians of water, a policy that amounted to the crime against humanity of extermination and for acts of genocide. In December 2024, Amnesty International issued its own report concluding that Israel was committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza by inflicting conditions aimed at causing irreparable harm. In July 2025, the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem and Physicians for Human Rights Israel became the first Israeli groups to publicly state that Israel was committing genocide in Gaza. In September 2025, following the UN Commission's report, over 28 groups, including Doctors Without Borders, Save the Children, and Islamic Relief, released a joint statement calling for world leaders to stop Israel's genocide. So many organizations calling it what it is, genocide. The big question remains, who is going to do anything about that? Who is going to stop the ongoing genocide? Let's listen to the latest one I mentioned earlier, the report released on September 16, 2025 by the United Nations Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and in Israel, about Israel committing genocide in Gaza, and the voice you will hear is that of Navi Pillay, chair of the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry.
Today we published our report analyzing Israel's conduct in the Gaza Strip, a strip pursuant to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. The Commission concluded that Israel has committed genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza and that it is continuing with that genocide. It is now almost 2 years since Israel launched its military campaign in the Gaza Strip in October 2023. This has been the most ruthless, prolonged, and widespread attack against the Palestinian people since 1948. Every day that passes, the killings and the starvation of the Palestinians continue. On 22nd August, the Famine Review Committee determined that famine is currently occurring in Gaza Governorate. At the time, the committee had projected famine thresholds to be crossed in Deir al-Bala and Khan Yunis Governorates in the coming weeks. The goal of the Israeli government is abundantly clear as we continue to witness the destruction of Palestinians in Gaza. The Commission finds it is genocide. In our report, the Commission found that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces committed and are continuing to commit the following underlying acts of genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. 1. Killing members of the Group 2, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. 3, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. And 4, imposing measures intended to prevent births within the group. On the specific intent of genocide, the Commission concludes that statements made by Israeli authorities are direct evidence of genocidal intent. The Commission also concludes that the pattern of conduct is circumstantial evidence for genocidal intent, and that genocidal intent was the only reasonable inference that could be drawn from a totality of the evidence. Therefore, the Commission concludes that the Israeli authorities and Israeli security forces have the genocidal intent to destroy, in whole or in part, the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. The Commission finds that the Israeli political and military leaders are agents of the State of Israel. Therefore, their acts are attributable to the State of Israel. The Commission therefore concludes that the State of Israel bears responsibility for the failure to prevent genocide, for the commission of genocide, and for the failure to punish genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. On incitement to genocide, the Commission concludes that many Israeli political and military leaders, including President Isaac Herzog, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and then Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, had incited the commission of genocide, and that Israeli authorities have failed to take action against them to punish this incitement. This report is the result of almost 2 years of work. The commission began its investigation immediately on 7th October 2023, and has documented more than 16,000 pieces of evidentiary materials to date. The Commission has published 3 mandated reports and 3 thematic papers since 7th October 2023. And our findings in this report are based on the factual findings contained in all the reports that we had published since 7th October 23, as well as the findings from our upcoming mandated report to the General Assembly in October 2025. The analysis contained in this report relates solely to the determination of genocide in the Gaza Strip between October 2023 and July 2025. The Commission nevertheless raises the serious concern that the specific intent to destroy the Palestinians as a whole is guiding Israel in its operations in the rest of the occupied Palestinian territory, that is, the West Bank, including East Jerusalem. It is also important to note that the events in Gaza since 7th October 2023 have not occurred in isolation. They were preceded by decades of unlawful occupation and repression under an ideology requiring the removal of the Palestinian population from their lands and their replacement. We recommend all member states, especially those with influence over Israel, to effect an immediate halt to the killing and harming of civilians in Gaza, to guarantee humanitarian access to Gaza, and to prevent further destruction of life and suspend arms transfers or financial assistance that could contribute to further genocidal acts. The Genocide Convention was born out of humanity's darkest chapters. Today, we witness in real time how the promise of never again is broken and tested in the eyes of the world. The ongoing genocide in Gaza is a moral outrage and a legal emergency. Member states must act now. There is no need to wait for the International Court of Justice to declare it a genocide. all states are obligated to use whatever means within its power to prevent the commission of genocide. And so we urge member states to ensure accountability for any crimes that have been committed and prevent further crimes from being committed, not just in Gaza, but the entire occupied Palestinian territory.
That was Navi Pillay, chair of the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory, including East Jerusalem and in Israel, announcing that an independent UN report concluded that Israel has committed genocide in Gaza. I have a link to the full report on our website, arabvoices.net. On September 15, 2025, a press conference was held at the United Nations office in Geneva, Switzerland, at which several UN special rapporteurs, who are independent experts appointed by the United Nations Human Rights Council, delivered briefings on the human rights situation in Gaza and across the occupied Palestinian territory. I'm going to air a couple of them now. Let's first listen to the remarks of Francesca Albanese, Special Rapporteur on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territory occupied since 1967.
It's a painful honor to be here at such a critical moment for Gaza and for the Palestinians as a whole. 710. This is the number of days of absolute horror that the people in Gaza have endured. 65,000 is the number of Palestinians ascertained killed, including over, of which 75% are women and children. In fact, we shall start thinking of 680,000 because this is the number that some scholars and scientists claim being the real death toll in Gaza. And it would be hard to be able to prove or disprove this number, especially if investigators and others remain banned from entering the occupied Palestinian territory, and particularly the Gaza Strip. But if this number is confirmed, 380,000 of these are infants under five. 1,581, this is the number of health workers killed in Gaza. 252 is the number of the journalists, your colleagues, killed in Gaza. And 346 is the number of UN staff killed in Gaza. 10,000 Palestinians have been detained, mostly arbitrarily, by an unlawful occupation, which has been starving, torturing, and even raping inmates, including doctors and patients. 75 is the numbers of detainees who have been reported killed in Israeli custody just in the last 710 days. Images of scores of Palestinians taken from their homes, shackled and blindfolded in the middle of the night continues to reach us from the occupied Palestinian territory. Homes, shelters, hospitals, schools, mosques continue to be destroyed. Over 85% of Gaza lies in ruin. The ongoing assault to take the last remnant of Gaza, meaning Gaza City, will not only devastate the Palestinians, but endangers also the remaining Israeli hostages, putting their life in great danger. Meanwhile, the West Bank is not having a much better present. The situation is unraveling under intensified pressure. Over 1,000 Palestinians, including 212 children, have been killed in the last 710 days. 1,600 is the number of the raids, with a 22% increase compared to the previous years over Palestinian inhabited areas. And so the numbers of targeted killing is also going up, which is the most severe since the Second Intifada, with the full destruction of refugee camps, and 40,000 Palestinians have been forcibly displaced. In all this, annexation continues unabated, with family entering multiple times of cycles of the displacement, facing the expansion of settlements and outposts. No space is safe for Palestinians, but no space is safe for international law under this brutal occupation. And behind every statistic is a human life, a story cut short, a family broken. The trauma and grief will last generations. Meanwhile, far too many states continue to look away, normalize the suffering, and they even profit from it. Arms, trade, and diplomatic engagement with Israel continue unabated. And this is not just morally wrong. This is unlawful. As I argued in my last report to the Human Rights Council, this genocide has become profitable, unfortunately, not just for some corrupt private entities. And this is not only Israel's crimes. This is a world's crime sustained by silence, complicity, and the supply of funds, weapons, and political cover. History will remember because no, it's not that this is the first genocide that is been known. No, the Holocaust, the genocide in Bosnia, the genocide in Rwanda were also known to the people of the time. But this genocide happened because the world didn't care enough to stop them, like today or not. But today's genocide has something different. It's openly incited, cynically denied, and relentlessly supported, armed, and weaponized, while those who oppose it are silenced, beaten, criminalized, and smeared. This is why I say this is the shame of our time, and the collapse of the international legal order lies in this moment, not only for the Palestinians, but for all of us. So I asked prime ministers, presidents, foreign ministers, so-called world leaders, how do you sleep? When will you act, truly act beyond the words? But I also see courage, dock workers, trade unions, students, mothers and fathers, ordinary people everywhere are refusing this complicity. And their message is clear. No more genocide, no more apartheid. Starting in Palestine, the future millions demand is one of justice, equality and freedom, and is still within reach if we act now. Thank you.
During the question and answer period, Francesca Albanese addressed a question about the Israeli attack on Gaza City, and this was her response.
Concerning the attack on Gaza City, let me first put it in perspective. Because I often hear the explanation that Israel is now going to take control of Gaza City. This is what remains because the majority of the territory is already under Israeli control, direct or indirect, in the sense that there are areas that have been leveled to the ground. There are areas that are started to being built by the army. For now, what does it mean? This attack, it means full destruction. It's happening already. It's not that this is a future and uncertain event. It's happening. Israel is bombing including by using unconventional weapons that we've never seen before and newly assembled weapons is destroying entire neighborhoods, remnants of buildings where people were seeking shelter, really. It's trying to forcibly evacuate the 800,000 Palestinians who were seeking refuge there. But the question is, why? Why? Because this is the last piece of Gaza that needs to be rendered unlivable before advancing the ethnic cleansing of that piece of land. And then probably they will move to the West Bank. And the important thing is that this is unlawful, unlawful and unlawful, because the only legal thing that Israel can do in the occupied Palestinian territory is to move out. Dismantling the settlements, withdrawing the troops, and stopping exploiting Palestinian resources are the three of the five things that the International Court of Justice has asked Israel to do in the advisory opinion, together with paying reparations for all the harm and damage caused to the Palestinians by Israel and facilitating the return of those displaced. And this should be the perimeter of the political discussions the member states have to start with, before or in line with also talking about the crimes that Israel is being committing. And in fact, it seems to me that there is an intentional determination to circumvent this by moving the discussion instead of from what should be ending the atrocities, the sources of and the root causes of the illegality in the occupied Palestinian, let's move it somewhere else, where it really we do not have to talk about. I mean, this is some states are doing that, where we do not have to talk about our responsibilities.
That was Francesca Albanese, special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967. Let's listen next to the remarks of Irene Khan, special rapporteur on the right to freedom of opinion and expression, speaking at the same press conference held in Geneva.
I will just say a few words to complement what Francesca Albanese has said, and I will, of course, focus on the issue of my own mandate, freedom of expression. Gaza has become the deadliest conflict ever for journalists. More journalists have been killed in Gaza than in both world wars, Vietnam War, wars in Yugoslavia, and the war in Afghanistan combined, according to one research institute. As Francesca mentioned, the number, the UN number right now is 252, but that is, of course, likely to go up because every week we hear news of more killings. In August alone, 9 journalists were killed in 3 horrific, bloody incidents, as you may remember. Many of these 252 journalists have been targeted, by which we mean deliberately picked out and killed because of the work that they are doing to expose the atrocities, the crimes, the genocide on the ground. Let me spend 1 minute on the strategy that Israel seems to have developed, where they will first delegitimize and discredit a journalist. Smear campaigns are started, accusing the journalists of being terrorist supporters or terrorists themselves, and then they are killed. So it is not just killing journalists, but killing. The attempt is being very clearly made here to kill the story, because journalists, local journalists in Gaza today, are carrying the brunt of that killing spree, because they are the ones, only ones who are there. Gaza, what is happening in Gaza is extremely unusual in that I cannot recall another situation where a member state of the United Nations has denied access to independent international media for a conflict, for atrocities, for the unfolding of genocide, and now genocide actually happening over almost 3 years at this stage. We have not seen in any other country a situation like that happening, where international media are being denied independent access. The burden then falls on the local journalists who are being picked out, as I mentioned, and killed, labeled as terrorists and killed. Journalism is not terrorism. Journalism is not a crime. Journalists are civilians under international humanitarian law and therefore protected like other civilians. However, journalists, because of the nature of their war, have to go where the fighting is. They cannot flee away from the fighting, and they are being then deliberately picked out and killed. International media have been denied access. Al Jazeera has been actually banned from even operating in the West Bank or in Israel itself. What we see here, therefore, is, as Francesca Albanese, as you know, has written about the anatomy of genocide and the economy of genocide, and I would say that the story of the way in which journalists are being killed, silenced, killing journalists, murdered, in fact, is the cover-up of genocide, because these local journalists are the main source for news right now from the ground up. And if they can be stopped, if the information that is leaking out to the world can be stopped somehow, the Israeli Defense Forces believe that they can continue to do what they are doing with impunity. And that actually is the critical word here, impunity. Israel has never been held accountable. Israel has never allowed independent investigation of a single killing of a journalist ever in the Palestinian occupied territories. We have cases going back 20 years that have not ever been investigated internationally. And that, of course, has created this environment of permissibility in which the Israeli Defense Forces can do what they want to destroy those who are daring to expose the truth on the ground. And that, to me, is a big tragedy, certainly for the journalists themselves, certainly for the genocide in Gaza, but I think for media freedom around the world, a terrible precedent here is being made. And those countries that champion media freedom, those who speak about independent media, I hold them responsible at this stage. They must bring pressure to bear on Israel to allow independent investigation of the killings, to allow international access to international independent media. The very presence of international independent media will give some degree of protection to local journalists who are out there working alone. And of course, to stop the killing itself. Without journalists, we know that this story will never be complete. The information will be very difficult to get. Already, local journalists are suffering the same conditions like the rest of the population, looking for food, water, shelter. They've had family members killed, and yet they continue. Many of them continue very bravely to report. But how long can that can go on happening? In fact, in my last press release, the title was "States Must Stop Israel Before All Journalists in Gaza Are Silenced." And that is what I fear. I hope very much that you will speak up for those in your own community, journalists in your own professional community, speak up loud and clear that this must come to an end and Israel must be held accountable. Thank you.
That was Irene Khan, Special Rapporteur on the Right to Freedom of Opinion and Expression, speaking at the press conference held at the United Nations office in Geneva on September 15, 2025. You've been listening to Arab Voices, a syndicated radio talk show on dozens of radio stations in the US and Europe since 2002. Our shows are archived online and you can listen to them by visiting arabvoices.net. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.